Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
A different breed of restaurant cookbook is evolving. Usually the restaurant cookbook romances the chef and the food and the place, and that's lovely. But now the rose-colored glasses are coming off in several new books. For instance, John Gorham's book. John is the chef owner of one of Portland's most popular spots, Toro Bravo. It's Spanish-inspired, and he's co-authored the Toro Bravo cookbook. It's an unflinching memoir of family dysfunction and upheaval and the restaurant community that saved him. Sally Swift met up with John.
John, nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you write in the book that you moved 21 times before you graduated high school.
I did. It was crazy.
What was the story with that?
My dad was a manager for Kroger's, and he was just constantly asked to open, remodel, and move stores. And so for some reason, he just took it. And it was never a family question. It was never, did we want to move? It was, hey, we're leaving next week. And we got packed up, and we leave again. I mean, there were times where it was three stores in a school year. And, you know, that's why so many schools accumulated.
And back up a little further and tell me about your mom.
Well, mom was very young when she had me. She got pregnant when she was 14. And her parents didn't want her to go through with it. And she actually did this program where she moved out of her parents' house and she worked as a maid for the doctor that delivered me. And the whole plan throughout that was that this family was going to adopt me. So she was going to give me up. And when she had me, of course, that mother instinct took over and she didn't sign the papers. And so it was a very almost friendship, more than, son-mother. We were very close in that friend way. But then there was a really dark side of my mom. She was very depressed. She had a lot of pain. She had a major car accident when I was three and broke her back and never got out of that pain and got addicted to pain pills at a very young age and just battled that until she died.
Boy, between that and moving all the time, that was a rough start for you.
Yeah, it was. You know, my mom kept it together until I was about 14. And it was, looking back now, I see how it wasn't normal and her staying in bed for 3 days and going to rehabs here and there. But it never seemed to affect her on a day-to-day basis when she was on it. When I was about 15, she completely had a nervous breakdown and never came back to being who she was before.
You know, when you're a kid, you don't know that your life isn't normal, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just think that is life.
Did she function in ways? Did you have family meals? Did she cook? Did you guys sit down to dinner at night?
She was a horrible cook. And there was, we would eat together maybe once or twice a week. There was a lot of what she called fend for yourself nights, which meant you were going to cook for yourself. I learned to cook really young. So when it was fend for yourself nights, those were probably my better meals.
Well, how old were you?
Learning to cook was, you know, first grade, kindergarten, learning how to cook breakfast. And then, you know, cooking my own dinners was 7 or 8 and you know, going that route. There was, with the moving, you know, there's a lot of empty refrigerators because of moving. And there was eating out. And we lived in some really great regional spaces, you know, places in the United States. So there was some really great food brought into our lives with the eating out part.
But not important for your mom, it sounds like.
No, she loved food. She did. She loved food. She loved going out to eat. I mean, we were definitely, you know, middle class family that moved too much, so they were always in debt. And so, like, eating, you know, when we moved, we'd get a budget from Kroger's for the moving expenses. So then there was like eat out at great restaurants for a week, and then that ran out, and then it was go back to living, you know, on day to day.
You were flush for a brief moment.
Yes.
Tell me.
I think that was part of the addiction of moving for the family, was that we did get treated like royalty for that week. And I think that probably was a little bit of an addiction for them when they were asked to move.
John, Do you think that restaurant work is a place where people go to recreate families?
Without a doubt. I think for me, that's what happened. The first, when I was 14, I said I wanted to be a chef, and I got into my first kitchens. I was, the draw wasn't the food. I'll say that right now. I loved food, but I wasn't that adventurous of an eater. I'd try everything. My palate wasn't developed yet. But I was so excited every day to be with those people. And I got them, and they got me, and it was a place of solace for me.
And always from the very beginning, I mean, what did it feel like for you to work in a restaurant?
Well, when you're that young, there's a lot of hazing, you know, it's a lot of like goofball hazing to the young kids. And I loved that. And there was a lot of like hanging out with older, you know, we lived in a college town when I started like cooking at 15, 16, and I worked with all the college kids. And so it was like, and being in high school was a big shot. You know, if high school kids wanted beer, I knew the college kids. I could get us into the college parties. I could, you know, like it was that almost being elevated from your age. And it could be dangerous for some kids, and some kids make it through it. And I was one of the ones that made it through it, but it was fun. I was always enjoying myself.
There's an intensity there in that work.
Yeah. And my house was dark at that time. My mom was fully had her nervous breakdown. She was in hospitals. So going home was a very, very dark place. And those restaurants were the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're a good boss?
I think I'm a great boss. I think I took everything. You know, I came from the kitchens of the screamers. You know, I got screamed at. I got, you know, by the higher ups. I remember I got punched in the face once by a chef, you know, because I teased him a sauce broke. And, you know, he punched me in the face and told me never to treat him that way again. And, you know, I worked for people who messed with your checks and didn't pay your overtime and just, you know, that all the things that would make you disgruntled in the kitchens. And you get in these families and then you get those nicks and then finally you get disgruntled and you leave. And I made an early call that I was going to be the opposite of everyone I hated to work for. And so we create a family, and it is a family. And once you're in, you're in. And I'll go and pick. If someone got a DUI, I would get up in the middle of the night and get anybody out of jail that works for me. You know, if anyone has issues with their family, or I'll buy them a plane ticket and send them. You know, I want to take care of them as if we are a family.
John, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
John Gorham is co-author with Liz Crane of Toro Bravo, Stories, Recipes, No Bull. He talked with our managing producer, Sally Swift. Now, don't miss John's recipe for sautéed Brussels sprouts with bacon sherry cream. You're going to find it on the website, splendidtable.org.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.